You are tuned to your talk alternative, 93.5 KFOX, Redondo Beach.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And we are still in a moon wobble, as you know. That peak will occur around the 21st of this month. So you do want to keep your head down as far as trying to avoid any major new beginnings. Isn't that funny that during the moon wobble, how new beginnings do seem to crop up? They definitely do. And oftentimes, the opportunities that are offered us are happening during the moon wobble. And that is a very, very strange occurrence for sure. So as part of today's topic, we are going to talk about transits, because I think that as far as learning about astrology is concerned, if you don't understand what the moving planets in the sky are doing to this Earth and the people on it, then you are totally missing the point, astrologically speaking. And the question you might ask yourself is, Farley, am I having a transit? And the answer is, yes, you are. As long as you're alive on this Earth, living and breathing, you are having a transit. Funny thing about astrology, when you go beyond your sun sign, when you finally realize that you have things like we talked about yesterday, like a moon sign and like a rising sign or Mercury or Venus or Mars located in your chart, and when you finally embrace these circuits to have and to hold till death do you part, right? You know, when I first found out, because Libra was not one of my favorite signs, but when I first got into astrology and my astrologer told me that I had Mars and Neptune, then rising in Libra, I was still uncomfortable with that until I realized that John F. Kennedy was a Libra rising with my same degree. And I said, oh, well, in that case, that's okay. Then never mind. Okay, Libra's cool then, you know. But it's funny how oftentimes we do have a trepidation that can be associated with computers. You notice a lot of people are afraid to get involved with computers or invest their money into it because they're afraid they might not know how to handle it. Believe it or not, there's trepidation involved with VCRs, video cassette recorders. A lot of the older folks especially are frightened to get involved with buying a VCR because they're afraid they won't understand the five-day programmable with the slow-mo and all that stuff. And there's some people that have trepidation as far as all kinds of things, traveling, planes, trains, and then there's that trepidation that has to deal with something like astrology as far as trying to understand the guts or the scientific aspects of astrology beyond sun signs. See, people are really comfortable and they're really calm in their worlds of sun sign awareness because they can sit there and they can say to themselves, well, I want to get my horoscope, so I think I'll look it up in the paper, I'll dial one of these telephone numbers, these 976 lines, and get that instant report, and boom, you know, they're really calm in getting this report for the day, and this is their advice for the day. Even though it's a little ludicrous to believe that all Geminis are having the same kind of day, that's what people choose to believe. And you know what? It's funny, but each astrological sign does reflect a definite vibration that does nail it or identify it. You know, like it's not an accident that Leo people are gregarious in general. They're enthusiastic, they're creative, they're childlike. They also can be bossy, or stubborn, or arrogant, or very, very happy, and jovial, and extrovert, and loud-mouthish. You know, that general things for, so if an astrologer was writing a forecast for a Leo, as long as he would somehow include some of those basic natures, then they're gonna probably pretty much nail Leo. Same thing with like Virgo. See, Virgo is a work ethic type sign. They analyze, they study, they think, they criticize, they judge, they worry, you know, they serve. They're always involved in cleanliness, detail, hygiene. So you can take any one of those keywords and also incorporate that into the Virgo essence of a sun sign forecast. So An astrologer can typically nail all 12 signs every day in the newspaper if they know the basic gist of each sign. You know, at least most of them. Most of them will be nailing. What are Geminis doing today? Well, Geminis are involved in communication today, deep thinking, and they are answering mail, taking care of business, and fulfilling letters. That's kind of what I do when I do my general forecast on another station. It's like a teaser. But you know, the true guts and the true worth and the true glory of astrology is discovered in dissecting and analyzing planetary locations at birth more than just the sun sign. Do you know some people don't even know what a sun sign is? They don't even know what it means. They go, oh, I'm a Cancer. I'm a moon child. You know what? They're not aware that the moon actually is located astronomically in space during the period they are born in Cancer, and that's why their sun sign's Cancer, because it's a location effect. You know, it's like I really never knew what being a Leo was. I thought, you know, Leo was like August. You know, like as soon as late July and August hit, I thought, well, that for some reason that's been assigned as Leo time. I wasn't aware that the sun was actually entering the area of space from our point of view, the stellar constellation of Leo. A lot of people don't even know that the zodiac signs are actually star locations, star constellations in space that are used by astrologers to analyze planetary location. It's very simple. You know, if you can get the 12 signs of the zodiac down and memorize them in order, take the time to write them down: Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, and Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, then you will have memorized the belt of the 12 constellations that surround our solar system and the areas of space through which the planets will travel. That's right. So whenever you are talking astrology or are analyzing planetary or sun location, we are always talking about first the planets, the sun or the moon, and then the signs they are located in. So if you hear me refer to like Mercury in Scorpio or Venus in Pisces or Mars in Leo, that means that a person's Mars was located in that area of space that we know as Leo when they were born. See, like, if you take a look at my chart, my sun sign is Leo, like I was talking about at the beginning of the topic, but my moon was located, as you know, in Scorpio, and my Venus was located astrologically, astronomically, in Cancer, and my Mars was located in Libra. This is how we analyze character. When it comes to figuring people out astrologically, the philosophy of astrology is based on analyzing planetary locations in space at the moment of birth. Why is that? Because we believe that there is an energy beyond this realm, beyond this dimension, beyond the visible universe. We believe there is an energy force that comes into this universe through the star systems, okay, that it actually, this energy is vibrating towards Earth also, and that the energy is dissected into 12 basic vibrations or rays, okay? And that frankly, because this universe is filled with variety, many different star systems and planetary systems and meteors and asteroids and comets and such, we do believe that depending where you are located in the universe, we'll tell you exactly what this particular vibration will do to your particular planet where you were from or whatever city you were born in. Now see, the 12 signs of the zodiac have gained importance over the years because these planets have been going through Aries through Pisces for billions of years. Okay, and actually it's almost like a piston. You have these planets boomeranging through space, and they're not drifting into other parts of the universe. From our point of view, you'll never see planets going into the Big Dipper, or Orion, or Pegasus, or Cassiopeia, or the other constellations, the Little Dipper by the North Star, because for some reason, our planets in this solar system, they stick to a belt, the belt of the zodiac that we refer to as the ecliptic. And as these planets go around the sun and being held basically within, I'd say, from 0 to 17 degrees of the sun's equator, I think Pluto is the farthest out at 17 degrees because it is so far, it doesn't stick that close to the equator. And this area of space that surrounds our sun is known as the ecliptic, and that's why the zodiac has gained importance. Well, you know, astrologically what I'm saying is that these planets going through this area of space for so many billions of years have gained a certain vibrational structure depending where they go. Like if a planet does change constellations and does go from Leo into Virgo, we have learned through studying the movement of the stars throughout thousands of diaries throughout the years that the energy of Leo to Virgo changes. It is softened. You know, the Leo force is a little bit more coarser, more masculine, and a lot more extrovert, enthusiastic, and wilder. You know, it's a lot more liberal. And the Virgo energy is much more conservative, much more subtle, much more serious, much more logical and practical. So, you know, when these things happened, when routines and schedules were developed in Earth life, people that became the early astrologers noticed that there was a timing involved as to why this happened, because the sun would change constellations. It would go from one area of space into another area of space, and that would literally define a certain energy vibration that people on Earth would feel. See, well, over the years we discovered that if you kept track of when an individual was born, if you actually wrote down the time and the day and the city he was born and wrote down the location of the planets frozen in space at that moment, that this particular incident, this particular activity, this concept of that first breath, the natal effect, the natal chart, which we call the astroscope, would be something to embrace for an entire life cycle, because we could use this starting point, this natal chart, to understand how the host of that chart would react the whole rest of their life by following the liquid, the fluid, the moving planets in the sky that continue moving after birth. See, like, isn't it funny how when you come out of the womb and you take that first breath, something happens. The astral body comes in the baby, the eyes open, the digestive processes start, and boom, you're alive. Bingo, you are alive. You are breathing. You are a living entity, a being on the planet Earth. And it is definitely a miracle. It's an unbelievable phenomena that occurs. And that is why we like to record this incident, this birth effect and this natal effect, because we as astrologers have found that you can track the baby's life, you can track the baby's experiences, the types of people it might meet, its financial state, its residence, its health, its home, its family, its children, its relationships, its money, its power, its friends, goals, undoing, enemies, whatever. You could track anything in that baby's life by knowing that original force, that moment of birth, the natal effect, by having all the planets recorded, not just the sun sign. And how does this work? Well, it works in a little bitty program that we call the transits. Actually, it's a large program. It's an issue that we call the transit, spelled TRANSITS. You might notice that we sell transit forecasts on the show. You know what that is? Well, a transit forecast tells us, gives us an idea of where the planets are moving in the sky and the relationship those planets have to planets in your chart. See, because you have 11 factors at birth, in case you didn't know this, you have a frozen sun sign, a frozen moon sign, a frozen rising sign. These are frozen circuits that stay in your cells. Then you have the 8 planets besides the Earth: Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. And that makes up 11 factors, 11 zodiac factors that you absorb at birth, your astrological circuit. Now, the way life works in astrology, in order to figure out your cycles, your patterns, your trends, and karma, the way it works is that typically we like to notice, and hold on, whoever that was, we like to notice where the planets are moving in relationship to where the planets are in your chart. Like, I have Leo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Gemini, and Cancer planets in my chart. So obviously, when anything is in any one of those signs, in Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Libra, Scorpio, or Sag, which are the planets in my chart, they literally trigger karma and experiences in my life that are very important and valuable as far as my personal growth, my personal evolution, absolution of my karma, and actually being able to one day escape this dimension and the pull, the reincarnational pull we are all subjected to from the obsessions and the materialistic desire we have. The transits help trigger realization, okay? Now, let's see. Now, for example, you know, Mars is in Cancer, for example, on my Venus. So there's a lot going on there as far as thinking about my emotions, my sensitivity, moodiness, all Cancerian factor in my life. And we do have actually Pluto in Scorpio on my moon, which has been having a gradual transformation on my life, my beliefs, my appearance, and my emotions too, because moon rules that. See, in astrology is a science of combinations. So if you learn the basics and you learn what each of the planets mean, and then if you learn what each of the signs mean, then you learn a few things called houses and aspects, then you get down the basic philosophy of the transits, meaning when planets in the sky move over on top of planets in your chart, or in what we call aspect to those planets, which means they set off an angular vibration to those planets through what we call a sextile, square, trine, in conjunct, or opposition, or conjunction aspect. Those are all geometrical aspects we use to grade the relationship between the planets in the sky and the planets in your chart. We also use those same aspects to look at the relationship between the planets at birth, when you are born. You have natal aspects that stay with you your whole life, and you have transit aspects that are going on every day that are setting up situations for you. Now, you know, I want to go over in this topic some of the possibilities of what would go on in a transit. Okay, so what some of the ideas as far as what could happen to your life during a transit. First of all, let's make a couple things straight. The transit aspects. If you are having a conjunction transit, which means there's a planet in the sky that is sitting right on top of one of your planets in your chart, like if you've taken the time to memorize your planets and you know you have Mars in Pisces at 5 degrees and Jupiter in Aquarius at 10, then you'll be aware of those degrees in the zodiac, 5 Pisces and 10 Aquarius, of you having an intimate connection to that part of the zodiac. So whenever the moon goes into Pisces or Aquarius, it'll set those planets off. Set off an experience. For example, if the moon goes into Pisces on your Mars, if you do have Mars in Pisces, because Mars rules your health and men, then your health could be affected from that lunar effect on your Mars, and relationships with men could be either enhanced or very emotional on that day. See what I mean? Okay, so the aspects, you know, getting the aspects down are important. The conjunction aspect means that a part of your nature is definitely being lit up and enhanced or awakened. The positive energy aspects, which bring us things, which give us things, which make us lazy, and which offer potential, are when you're having a sextile transit, which means there's a planet in the sky that is two signs away in a friendly location, what we call 60 total degrees away from any planet in your chart. That's a sextile transit. That's a positive potential transit. Whenever there's a planet in the sky that is 4 full signs away or 120 degrees away, that is also a friendly location that can bring you money, bring you love, bring you marriage, bring you communion, or bring you some kind of clarity concerning some particular issue. We often earn transit trines. When we've done good things in our life, it's like we receive more rewards during our trines. Now, the other aspects some people think are negative, but I really don't call anything in astrology negative. I would say the transit squares, the transit in conjuncts, and the transit oppositions, more than anything, will show us what our problem is, and usually it will show us what we need to do to process, to adapt, to actually cooperate with, or what areas of our life require maintenance. Okay? So if you're having a transit square or a transit in conjunct or a transit opposition, it might be rather uncomfortable, but it is definitely a taken care of business transit where you're usually faced up to deadlines, to schedules, to choices, to decisions, and to finishing up old things in your life that are holding you down or processing relationships or careers that are not good for you. You are also oftentimes offered tremendous responsibility, new responsibility, new material acquisitions, and new possessions to deal with during these stress transits. The square aspect will occur when there's a planet in the sky that is 3 full signs away from any planet in your chart. Now, you'll notice, because there's 8 planets besides the Earth up there and the Sun and the Moon, so there's 10 transiting orbs in the sky, and there's 11 possible orbs in your chart that can be set off by these 10 moving orbs in the sky. You know, 10 times 11 is 110 possible transits that could be going on at any one time, right? Obviously, your life is cooking with transits. And people that are really nitpicky and surgical about astrology can actually figure out what's going on in their lives by following their transits. See, some of it's very easy because Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto are five planets that move very slowly. That's right. Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto can take years to go through one sign. So following those transits will be simple, you know. It is the Sun, the Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars that we are really interested in active movement in our lives, sudden experiences in our life that can quickly be triggered by these faster planets, especially the Moon, okay? Now, the square aspect occurs when there is a planet in the sky that is three full signs away, 90 degrees or an exact right angle to the Earth from a planet in our chart. That's usually insecurity, low self-esteem, or us being not so nice to ourselves. The opposition aspect occurs when there's a planet in the sky that is 180 degrees or exactly opposite a planet in our chart. It's called an opposition. And that usually means there's an element that's been brought into our life that is an alien element, something we might be attracted to us because it is different, but it definitely is a lesson, something to be processed out. So people having long opposition transits, like from Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto, are being shown to get rid of certain parts of their behavior or certain elements in their life as far as people, situations, or whatever. And the in conjunct, which is not discussed much, is when there is a planet five full signs away from a planet in your chart, 150 degrees, and this is also an alien aspect that can bring about guilt, regret, remorse, mourning, or just elongated periods of not being able to let things go because you don't understand them. Okay? The key here to understanding these transits is knowing what the planets mean and knowing what the signs mean, right? So if you're recording this show, you're going to have it, and if not, you'll have to write fast. But basically, the sun is an energy that radiates identity. Okay? So if you're having a solar transit, then usually the question is, what's in it for me? Or what's going on for me? Like if it was a sextile to your sun, excuse me, let's say there was a planet in the sky like the moon was sextile your sun or the moon was trine your sun, because the sun is your soul and who you are, these would be days you'd be feeling good. So moon trines and moon sextiles or any planetary trines or sextiles to the sun or to Leo planets, because the sun rules Leo, will usually emphasize feeling good, feeling happy, being creative, all those things that are epitomized by sun and Leo. See what I mean? Now, if you're having a square, an opposition, or an inconjunct transit to the sun, then the question will definitely be, what's in it for me? Or maybe, where am I? Where's my identity in this particular situation? So, if you were having a moon or a Mars square your sun, or a Venus opposition your sun, or Venus square your sun, then your identity might be a question. That might where you might need a process or an adaptation during that particular transit. Transits are funny because they all last different times, different lengths. You know, where the moon is flying through one sign in 2.5 days and may trigger one of your planets for a few hours. The sun is may trigger one of your planets for about a week. You know, a transit occurs 4 degrees approaching the exact aspect and 2 degrees passing, typically. That's the formula. So obviously, if you're having a transit from any of the long-moving planets, like maybe Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto, that transit could last for weeks or months or even almost a year if it's Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto. See, so there's a lot to be learned or said through analyzing these long transits. Let's go over some of these other planets. Mercury, it rules the Gemini and Virgo force. So Mercury transits or Gemini or Virgo transits usually will typify things that need to be done. Communications, letters, phone calls, things need to be said, things need to be heard. It's always a communication when it comes to that, or analysis or understanding. It's mental. Venus epitomizes energy in Libra or Taurus, and Venus transits to your Venus or from Venus or to Taurus or Libra planets usually have to do with money and or women, love, sometimes values and or emotions, okay? And often always money. So trines and sextiles to your Venus can bring you money. Squares and oppositions to your Venus can bring you money too, but along those lines, a lot more work and responsibility connected to it. See what I mean? Nothing bad in astrology. Transits to the moon or cancer planets would, 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, would epitomize emotional changes, emotional factors, emotional karma, or situations with the mother, the residence, or your home. Okay? Also, transits to Mars or Aries planets in your chart would often always involve situations concerning your health, your overall energy, your life force, and men. Okay? Transits to Jupiter or Sagittarius planets would often always include and involve philosophy, travel, foreigners, issues of freedom, and issues of overall happiness. Transits to Saturn or Capricorn planets in your chart, or are from Saturn in the sky or Capricorn planets, would often always deal with issues of practicality, logic, martyrdom, suffering for growth, karma, or working out karma, absolving karma, patching up things, making peace, and such as that. And also Saturn and Capricorn energy rules the skin and the bones, so oftentimes the skin and the bones are affected by these transits. Uranus, transits to Uranus or to Aquarius planets, which is Lord of Uranus, will often always bring about sudden shock changes, for better or for worse. Uranus and Aquarius force, it rules variety, it rules shock, it rules lightning, it rules accidents, breakups, divorces. It also rules enlightenment, awakening, friends, and goals, and almost always it's variety and very sudden and very unexpected. Even if it's a long Uranus or an Aquarius transit, when the factor hits, it's often always a major revelation. Transits to Neptune or Pisces planets, the Lord of Neptune, often always will be illuminating and will offer spiritual growth. Or sometimes hard transits to Neptune or Pisces planets, on the other side of the fence, if you don't adhere to the illumination and the spiritual growth, it could, the illumination could frighten you, and the newfound sensitivity might frighten you. So escapist behavior is possible, including drugs and alcoholism, also cigarettes and addiction like coffee and sugar. And then transits to Pluto, or Scorpio planets, or from Pluto or Scorpio planets, would often always involve issues of sex, rebirth, transformation, life and death as the issue, learning to plug into higher parts of the mind, the occult realms, universal understanding, God concepts, and also mystery, secrets, nuclear energy, stuff like that. Now, this topic is a wonderful topic for those of you that needed to hear a topic on the transits. It's a real good introduction for you to explain the basics behind transits. And, of course, the only true way you could really get transits down would be to get your very own transit forecast.